I would now like to welcome Steve Ray. He introduced himself. Dr. Ray is recently retired from NIST and is now a distinguished research fellow at Carnegie Mellon University, located in NASA Research Park. And what he'll be sharing with us is another example of a very interesting open innovation model. And this tied to a business community of oncologists, open standards organizations, and others that have pulled together the recognition of significant gaps in our ability to express credible units of measure in all of the domains that are actually important and underpin our progress in many areas. And so I will introduce and turn now to Steve Ray to tell us the story.
Thank you, Susan. Well, that was I was very inspired by Erica's talk, actually, and we're going to shift gears just a little bit because we're much more low-key. This is much more of a pragmatic, kind of a grassroots story I want to tell about how we are using collaboration technologies and actually bringing people from around the world together. And this is sort of just a little story that will help illustrate, I think, how some of these tools have been brought to bear in this particular example. So this acronym we have, QOMOS, if you go to the slide number 2, is spelled out. It stands for Quantities and Units of Measure Ontology Standard. Just to give you some context a little bit, this work actually sprung out of an ongoing activity which Peter Yim had alluded to, who's also on this meeting, which is in the ontology community, which is semantic technologies, and I'm not going to go into great detail about that, but suffice it to say, this ontology community is interested in ontology, the field of ontology as computer science interpretation of it, is formal specification of concepts and relationships between concepts in a computer interpretable form, let me put it that way. And this particular QOMOS activity has to do with the fact that, surprisingly enough, our system of units and measures, the meter, the kilo, the pound, all those different units, has never actually been formally modeled in a way that you could take the whole corpus of the system of units and measures in a way that computer programs could use it and interpret it and build off of it. The standards that have been put in place for many, many decades now of the system of units and measures really are described as textual documents, agreements between nations about what is going to be the unit of length, what's going to be the unit of mass, etc. There are certainly equations out there relating different things, but there's no unified model for the whole thing. And at times this leads to misunderstandings about which units perhaps or dimensions people are using. Obviously one of the famous examples is the Mars lander where NASA was working in meters and Lockheed was working in feet when they were controlling the approach of the spacecraft to Mars with catastrophic results. So this struck my fancy and obviously the fancy of a number of people to get together and say, you know, we can do this. We can actually model all of these units. You don't even have to figure out the relationships because the metrology community of the world has been worrying about this for decades. So we started talking about this at a meeting, which you can see on slide number 3. And this is how I'm going to take this talk. I'm going to take you a little through timeline, basically. It's only a year since this really began. We have Peter Yim has been facilitating a summit meeting, an ontology summit, which I've been chairing for the last 5 years, where the ontology community comes together virtually, and I'll show you in a moment just how we do that, from around the world to talk about various challenges for ontologists and the use of ontologies in the world. But this particular summit last year was talking about the merging of the field of ontologies with the world of standards, which is a world I was working hard at this prior to coming out here on the West Coast. So Frank Olson, who is currently at NSF, but is actually an employee of Lawrence Berkeley Labs, he's for a long time been anxious to see if the ontology world could do something about the system of units and measures, and he put this forward as a great example of an application area where ontologies could be applied to standards, in this case the standards of the system of units and measures. We had a virtual launch event, and by the way, you'll see all these links on the slides here, and these are links you can follow anytime for the archives of all of these events I'm making reference to. The whole ontology summit is constructed as a collaboration exercise. Starts off, as you can see in that first sub-bullet, it's a several-month affair, 3 months in this case. It's a virtual online dialogue punctuated by virtual meetings every couple of weeks or sometimes every week. And then at the very end, there was a two-day actual physical meeting held at NIST in Gaithersburg, Maryland. But the whole point is that most of the work actually gets done in a virtual collaborative environment. So the launch of that event was in January 15th. At that time, the Harmonized Ontology of Units and Dimensions project was identified as one of an exemplary set of projects where ontologies could be applied to standards. On slide number 4, then, there was some online discussion, and eventually in June, there was a panel session, again, a virtual event, much like today's event, a virtual, in fact, using the same infrastructure as today, a panel which focused in on exactly, okay, kicking off this thing, what should we do as far as building ontology for units of measures. At that meeting, a number of other people around the world participated from Europe and different parts where they had already worked on some of these issues and had some results to bring to the table. And then much email went on, and all of this, of course, archive email, which is searchable and can be referenced individually, and took us to September, where actually the notion of a coming up with a straw man model, if you like, of this units of measure ontology started really taking shape. Lots more email discussion, of course. And then in October, there was a workshop on that. That workshop was actually tagged on to a physical meeting, which was the International Semantic Web Conference, which was held just outside Washington, D.C. And since people were in the area, we managed to actually have a physical meeting. So that workshop in October was a physical meeting. Let me go to slide number 5. We started talking seriously about the idea of transitioning this work and putting it into a standards body. And some of that discussion had to do with choosing OASIS as the organization where we could have a good host, if you like, for that. So in November, we reviewed and adopted a charter. Anyway, adopted our charter, submitted it to OASIS, and then things started speeding up more, the sort of just going through a process of getting a technical committee started in OASIS. They do a call for participation. We had more virtual meetings, and then the kickoff was just last week of the new OASIS technical committee, where Frank Olkin, who sort of started with pushing this idea, and I started off then as the co-chairs. We're elected as the co-chairs for that activity. We're going to then continue to meet. OASIS itself is an organization that operates very much in a virtual way, in a collaborative way, because people are far-flung around the world. So we intend to take this down the road in the same kind of thing. So that little chronology is just an illustration, and what I want to draw from that then is some lessons learned of how what worked, what didn't work on this whole collaboration technology, and is this a bunch of hype or does it actually add value? So on slide number 6, you can see some of those lessons learned. So the good news is that, in fact, as this exemplified, we have, in this case and in other cases, been able to come up with ideas, incubate those ideas, perform the work, and actually deliver results almost entirely through a distributed virtual community. Of course, it does help to have one or two physical meetings where you get to actually see faces and meet people, but of course those are expensive and all, especially for people very far away. The technologies that have been found to really work well together, and I think credit, as I said in the fourth bullet there, goes to Peter Yim for really bringing a lot of these technologies together and making them work synergistically. It's a combination of wiki pages, chat rooms, archived email, remote screens, and some physical meetings. And in fact, today's meeting, you'll notice we're using wiki pages, chat room, not so much the archived email, but remote screens. And here I am in California talking to you. Peter is in a different part of California running the screens, and Susan and you all are sitting in Washington or just outside Washington. So we can effectively be in the same meeting, but by carefully combining these various tools, we found it worked very well. On the third bullet there, you can see, and I want to draw in particular attention to the fact that the chat room is extremely helpful for actual working meetings. What chat rooms allow multiple participants to do is in parallel offer their ideas, suggestions, ask questions, collect input from a large number of people very efficiently without having to sort of serialize going around the room and all. So in fact, it just occurs to me, I suppose we could have even used the chat room if everyone had had a computer to introduce ourselves in parallel, and there'd just be this huge surge of text running through the chat room. But we would have gotten through all of the introductions of everyone in the meeting in about, 2 minutes. The chat room works tremendously well, not only for the parallel mechanism it offers for input, but also as a archival record, if you like, of what is being raised as far as issues or answers and things. So certainly with the Ontolog Forum that Peter had made mention of, and in this ongoing Quomos activity, the chat room is proving very, very valuable to be used in parallel with the actual virtual meeting. I mentioned Peter Yim, who I would say is the brains behind the whole collaboration infrastructure going on here. He has been doing this for many years now in the Ontolog context, in the context of this particular ontology project, as well as working with Susan Turnbull over these years, I know, helping the expedition workshops work. And, of course, all of these collaborations are also owe their debt to all the people that actually collaborate with them. I do want to raise a few issues on slide number 7, which need to be thought of if any of you are thinking of, deploying these kinds of tools. There are some issues, for example, it's great to be able to capture everything, but, for example, in a standards effort or any other even intergovernmental collaboration, there is this trade-off between openness, recording, and everything, and candor. In this particular example of this OASIS standardization activity that I'm talking about, this ontology for units of measure, we've taken a course where we intend, in the spirit of OASIS, to publicize all of our minutes, but we aren't going to be actually audio recording the dialogue, the discussions going on as we're working out issues. And in this particular case, we feel that strikes the right compromise. Certainly, if everyone's being recorded, sometimes they're hesitant to bring out some issues, if they have some on a particular sensitive topic, whatever that might be. By having minutes taken, which give us the opportunity to review those minutes before they're publicized, we want to try and strike that balance between making all the information as available as possible while still encouraging as much candor as possible during the discussion. So that's something that everyone, I think, should consider when they're trying to set up essentially the rules of order for their collaboration, what balance you want to strike there. Copyright issues is a long-standing issue in standards activities anyway, in terms of openness, in terms of contributions. Most standard bodies, and OASIS is no exception, take great pains to make it very clear what the IP understandings are of any contributed information. And again, in any collaboration, and a particularly distributed collaboration, I would say, you have to pay some attention to what are the ground rules in terms of, or what are the understandings in terms
Graham
of
is now exiting
property. I will say, however, that another issue is, I've been saying how advantageous it is to have these archives available, and you have to think a little bit about how long are those going to be available. The long-term persistence issue, I would like to believe that the Ontolog archives that Peter maintains will last forever. It's hard to know how long forever really means, but we'd all like to have Bruce or Kale by our side or something who's going to archive everything. But we have to think about that a little bit, about the ultimate, 100 years from now, how are people going to reach the archives you're trying to put in place? And in our own particular example here, we have transitioned from essentially an Ontolog SIM3 enabled infrastructure for our early discussions of this activity, and now we're transitioning over into the OASIS infrastructure. We are still bringing, thanks to Peter's largesse, some of the tools and his time for carrying us through there. But there's probably going to be a few cultural adjustments, as OASIS itself has a reasonably strong infrastructure for recording, keeping the minutes or documents and other records of the meetings. So we'll have to adjust in that regard. And, of course, as technology changes, it's always a challenge to keep up with the different technologies. I should stress that this particular story I'm telling, I said it was sort of a grassroots effort. This is very much brought up using what are, by and large, open source or public domain tools. So there's very little purchasing cost for a lot of these tools. There's a lot of sweat equity, obviously, in putting them together and making them work smoothly together. But it is quite straightforward in terms of acquiring these tools or using them. Most of them are web accessible, so that's not a huge barrier to being able to use that. So on slide number 8, I just wanted to make a note that when Susan had asked me to say a few words about this activity, the fact that we have these complete archives of the whole chronology of events that took place over the past year and earlier made it very easy for me to go back and construct that timeline. For example, I could go back and check the transcripts.
Is now joining.
Copies of slides, email discussions to find out, when was it when we started this thing or had that workshop or resolved this other item. The fact that we do in this particular case, prior to moving into the formal OASIS venue, have audio recordings of every single meeting, made it quite straightforward to go back and verify dates and events. So I guess one of my final comments is that some of the advantages, actually, that distributed collaboration has using some of these tools is wonderful record keeping. You actually have it in many ways better track of things than you have if you just come to a room together and meet, and you may or may not get, capture everything that's going on. So far from being a disadvantage, that actually seems to be easier with you take the care, of course, when using these tools to have it there for posterity. So taking the long view of being able to look back over the years, you will find if you visit, for example, the Ontolog Forum archive, you have many years now worth of presentations. Both the slides are there, the audio is there, the discussions are transcribed. It's really an amazing corpus that is going to be available as long as those files sit on those discs somewhere. So this has been actually a very rewarding experience for me over the years working with these tools, and I think they'll only get better, and I'm also very happy that they're quite accessible to everyone. So with that, I will stop and take any questions or comments that people have.
Thank you, Jason. First, let's thank you for your